Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes you have to speak victory during.
Amen, 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 amen. It is such a blessing and an honor and a privilege to be before you today. You could have been anywhere else listening to any other show, but you decided to stop by and hear a word from the Jubilee Affair. Well, hello, hello, hello. It is Sunday, September 23rd, 2018. I am your host, sanctified and set apart with a shot of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor D. Townsend, and welcome to the Jubilee Affair, Season 2, brought to you by the HubNet Online Network. This is God's show for God's people. As always, I am joined by the good brother, Hakim Nuba.
Hey, good evening, sir. How you doing?
All right, brother. All is well. It's a true blessing, brother, to be here. I get into that a little bit in a little bit, brother, but it's just, God is just so amazing, doctor.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, yes, yes. If you are in need of prayer, you can contact us on the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. You can tweet the HubNet Online Network. But the quickest way is to call the show, 646-787-1798. Again, that is 646-787-1798. If you have a word, if you want a prayer request, just hit the number 1, you'll be placed in queue, and when it's your time, you will talk to the pastor. Amen. I always like to open up the show with a word of prayer. I am a firm believer that prayer changes things. Amen. So let us get together and let us bow our heads for prayer. Father God, we just thank you yet again, Father, for the blessings, Father, that you have bestowed onto your people. I just thank you, Father God, personally for just always being there, Father, to look after me, Father, and my family and my friends. Father, you have blessed us in so many ways. You continue, Father, to show us your grace and your mercy. And for that, Father, I praise your name to the highest. I just thank you, Father, because I know without you, I am nothing and I can't be anything that I want to be without you in my life. So now, Father, I ask that you will bless all those within the sound of my voice. Bless, Father, those who are hurting. Bless those, Father, who are in the need of healing. Bless those, Father, who are searching and looking. Bless those, Father, who know you and found you. Bless those, Father, who are all just torn up, Father, from the tragedies that happen throughout this world, Father, whether it be personal in their life, Father, or it happened to somebody else, Father, or if it's whatever is going on, Father, we just ask that you would bless right now, that you would touch in a mighty way. There are some, Father, who lost their houses or their homes and personal properties, Father, this weekend. But yet, Father, we are still here. Bless right now, Father. I ask that you would continue, Father, to touch and bless Brother Hakim, Father, the lifeline of this network. Continue to touch and bless Sister Michelle, Father, the leader of this network. Continue, Father, to touch and bless all those, Father, hosts that have shows on this network. Father, bless all the listeners of this network. Father, just send out your blessings upon everybody right now because we need it. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And as always, I am excited and happy and full of joy. And my prayer is that you are as well. But it is my job to release the captives, to teach God's word, and to stand on his promises, and to be a shoulder to those who need someone to lean on. I say that every week because I want that to sink into your minds. I have a true testimony. This past weekend was my birthday weekend, and after celebrating with my family and my brother and I, we normally take a man's trip up into Canada, and that's actually where I am right now, amen. And throughout this time, we got here and we were given some free tickets to the hockey game. Shout out to Stevie Myers for blessing us with the free tickets, amen. And while we were on our way to the arena, it got really dark. It got real dark and cloudy and gloomy. But as we came in, it was nice and pretty out. The sky was blue. And so we were preparing just to have a wonderful day. And so as we got into our car and we're driving to the arena, and all of a sudden we just got hit with a real sheet of rain, a real hard, cold rain that just rained down upon us, and we just thought, okay, it was just one of the Canadian weathers that shifts like it normally does, but not to know that we were just minutes away from a tornado. The tornado, there were three tornadoes that hit the area where we were at. And it was so amazing and such a blessing that we did not get touched. I serve a God that never fails. I serve a God that says that when he says that he's going to protect you, that though you walk through the valley and of the shadow of death, that you will not fear no evil, for he is with me. When I say that I serve a God that looked beyond all my faults and saw the need, that said it is not time for the Townsend brothers to perish, I serve a God that says that all you have to do is acknowledge my name. Somebody need to shout amen today, man. When you acknowledge the fact that there is a God that looks after your comings and your goings and your ins and your outs, and he directs your path regardless to what, and you may want to go left, but he'll tell you to go right, and when you go right, you find that it is actually the right way to go, and you just averted a whole disastrous plan that was set up for you. Somebody know what I'm talking about, amen? You see, we did not one time see a tornado. It went all the way around us, but it didn't touch us. You see, I serve a God that looks after his people. I serve a God that says that if you who are called by my name will humble yourself and pray, that in the midst of a situation, that he will always be there to straighten it out. Somebody here, you need to know that. God is saying that if you just give it to me, I straighten it all out. And you won't experience no problems, no issues at all. I'm a living witness how God protects. We could have been dead and gone. Hear me, brothers and sisters, that it did not touch us. That reminds me of the scripture where it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Not that it won't come upon you. Not that you won't feel some rain. Not that you won't get up to your neck in water. But before it hits your mouth, before it hits your nose, where you cannot breathe underwater, I guarantee you, something will stop it. God will stop it. You're going to experience some issues in life. But if you're holding on to God's unchanging hands, I promise you, He'll see you through. My God, my Jesus, never fails. My Jesus never fails. If he and I'll tell you like this, if no other blessings ever happened in my life, He's done more than enough. I could get up, step the wrong way, twist and break my ankle, break my knee, all the way up my hip, and guess what? He's still the God that I serve. He never fails. Tornadoes. When all the places around us were without power, our hotel room where we were at, this big old building, lost power while we were at the arena. When we came back to power. We had power at the arena. We were safe and sound after we got out of the arena. And we came back here to power. The God I serve, He never fails. And I ask for a special blessing for all those here in the city of Ottawa who lost all their homes, and I pray that everybody is alive and well, and Father, that you will make things right, Father, and that you will come in and that you will wipe some tears from some of these eyes, Father, some of the eyes of your people, Father, and that you will comfort, Father, that you will help, Father, that you will uplift, Father, in this time of tragedy. In Jesus' name, amen. You never know what God's going to do. He blessed us. And for that, I'm forever grateful. Because He didn't have to do it. He did not have to do it. As we move on and prepare to get into our time of delivering a word to you, there have been many, many times that I have talked to a lot of the fans over the past couple weeks and months, actually. And everybody always asks me, the first thing they ask me is, who is Hakim? Because we only hear him at the beginning and then we hear him at the end, but we never hear him. We don't know anything about him. And so after getting this a few emails about it and people asking questions, and so I said, well, you know, I think it's about time that everybody meets Brother Hakim. So on today, I'm going to conduct an interview with the good Brother Hakim Nuba. Hakim Nuba, welcome to the Jubilee Affair, my friend.
Thank you so much, sir, and thank you to everyone who has inquired about my presence and who I am. I truly appreciate the curiosity. I hope I don't frighten you away.
I don't think so, Doctor. You know, Doctor, if I could play matchmaker, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. Amen. But it's a blessing to have you on, sir. It is a true blessing. I tell everybody that you are the lifeline to this network. A lot of people don't know that you are the producer, and you produce most of the shows, if not all the shows, on this network. And it is, your job is, I see you come and go, and I see that, all the work you put into trying to build your, not only your brand, but to build the brand of this network, and how you work tirelessly. And I admire you for that, because not too many people could have that work ethic, and it takes a special person to be able to have that work ethic, and it is truly a blessing to see it. And, it helps me to be able to push forward when sometimes I get a little tired and weary, and I look and say, wow, if my good brother over here can do it, surely I can keep pushing forward. And so, you are a true inspiration to me and to, I'm sure many other young men who out here who are striving to perfect their work and craft.
I truly appreciate that. This is a passion of mine. 99.9% of the time, it doesn't even feel like work. I love helping people provide their voice to the airwaves any way I can, whether it's for behind the scenes, if I have to host a show. I just love it, especially when the content is right and we're actually helping people learn something or pointing people in the proper direction to find services they may need or whatever it is. This is fun. I really love it.
Amen. Amen. So let's start at the top. So tell the people where you're from and how did you get into radio production?
West Philadelphia, born and raised. I have done a lot of talent management. I've done a lot of public relations work for small business owners, some corporations, and back before the time of the internet, before the big boom of the internet, before you can actually grab your phone and use your phone as a computer. We're talking about the age of dial-up, if those who remember that. You didn't rely on that form of marketing. You had to go to the radio. So if you were a rapper, a singer, we have to prepare your press kit. I have to get you ready to do interviews. So being on that side of broadcasting, it was a necessity for me to do my job and for me to counsel and manage my talent properly. Then after a while, as I moved away from talent management and I started getting the urge to get on my little soapbox. So
okay.
back in 2003, 2004, I found myself with a group of other folks, and we just started doing online broadcasting. It was just fun, and then I picked up a new client who wanted to be a radio personality. So okay, here I am again. So I did that with her, and we went from station to station to station to station, and then one day she just said, I want to build my own. So like 2005, 2006, and I'm going, listen, that's a lot of money, and but through hard work, she did it. She's successful, multi-award winning, and it was through that trial and error. I'm talking about two people who are dirt poor, managed to build something that it's probably, you know, worth over 150 grand now, you know, on an annual basis. So, you know, it took a lot of work and it took a lot of failure and to get to the success. So after that, and I moved back from management to consultant and public relations for this client, I started, hey, this is my thing now. I just started building networks for people. And you know, and the good sister Michelle and I, we were over at another network that I co-owned, and it folded. And she wanted to build her own. I said, okay, well, let's make it happen. So she brought me on as the COO, and we've been rocking out ever since. It's over a year old. HubNet is officially over a year old now. You know, it's fun. it's like you're that kid with Play-Doh, and you're going to make a rocket ship today, and tomorrow's going to be a race car. You're just having fun. And that's how I look at it. Yep.
And they always say that when you enjoy doing your work, it's never work. Like you said, it's just, you know, a part of your life. And this seems to be like just a part of your life. It's just like, you know, you wake up and you know what you got to do and you do it, and you're never tired because it's what you love.
Yep.
That's awesome.
I mean, you know, the business end does have takes its toll because these things aren't free. You know, so it, you still have to approach it with a business, from a business standpoint. But with the leadership and the blessing of Sister Michelle, we're here. We ain't going nowhere. So
amen.
Things are, and it's the only direction is up. That's how I look at it. And you know, it has its moments. Where when you're dealing with the business end, for anyone who wants to get in broadcasting, you will work. You're going to have fun, but, you know, after the creativity is done and it's time to pay bills, it's time to, you know, roll up your sleeves and get the word out for certain messages and stuff like that, it's some work, you know, but it's good work.
Amen. So throughout all of your life and the extreme work ethic that you have, how has God influenced your life?
I would like to say in every aspect, even to the times where I found myself in my darkest places. I like to say that I have had in my life three major failures. As a man, as a businessman, and as a spiritual person. And the last great failure I had, all of them collided at one time, and I found myself in a place that I would never find myself in. Even to the point where I was questioning God, I got to the point where I didn't even believe. You know, it was just like, I don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, you know, the ego kicks in when you're making a lot of money, you're successful, you know, you forget who put you in this position.
Amen.
And that's why anyone who will listen to, you know, sidebar, my grandfather had me reading scriptures, since I was old enough to read. My mother's father and mother, their plan for me was to be a minister. I can honestly say, and for a couple years, we ended up living with them. So the morning ritual was you get up, you wash up, you read up, and then you have breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time I was 7, I've already read the entire Bible. So it was not just for the sake of reading. That was a culture. I don't even want to call it a ritual. It was a culture. So, and I carried that up until, you know, you're young and dumb and you think you know everything, you learned something and you pick up some new books and, you know, so now your pride and your ego takes over. You start questioning this, questioning that. And but I like to look back at it now at the age of 44. And I like to say that even when I was questioning and even when I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing, the Most High was still there.
Amen.
And let me tell you, he had no problem sitting me down. And when he set me down, he set me down, down. So even to this day, where I'm doing too much, I'm not taking care of myself. I'm taking care of the kids. I'm taking care of my manly duties, my fatherly duties. But I tend, my job is to make sure everybody else is okay. And
I understand that.
Sometimes, you know, because I have other responsibilities outside of HubNet, so it's like I have no free time. And then next thing you know, I'm in the hospital for 2 days for high blood pressure or whatever it may be. And I like to say, even those times, he's doing his due. You're doing too much. What happens when we have children and they're out of pocket? You gotta spank them. I take my spankings, man. you have to be grateful for the blessings. You have to say thank you before the blessings even come, because you know they're coming. Don't wait for them, and you have to just do what you're supposed to do. Not just as a man, not just, you know, you have to do what you're supposed to do as a spiritual person, no matter what faith you have or, you know, what religious denomination you apply to. The rule is you do what you're supposed to do. And sometimes we get caught up in a worldly thing, and I get popped upside the head. And I think even during that time, that's him reminding me of my duties. So,
amen.
He's always there.
Amen, amen. And my last question to you before I allow you to give a little word to the folks, this one is one that I ask normally everyone that I interview, because it's so important to those listening and important to ourselves, because it's a reflective question. But as a black man, with everything going on in this world, you know, the violence and the wrongful death suits and actions of police brutality, social, economic, and political problems, and all these issues that have been plaguing the black community and people of color, and, you know, that's been just really tearing us apart. What would you say to a young or even a seasoned person who might be struggling with his or her life, not knowing which way is up, not knowing which way to go? What would you say to a person when you look at them and you see yourself? You see where you've come from. Many times I see people and I see myself in them. And so what would you say to a person who is struggling in life?
It's funny you should ask that, because in the last 2-3 weeks, I have found myself talking to people, male and female, everything from rape victims to domestic violence victims to, you know, young guys. I see I catch out of the corner of my eye my youngest son looking at as, oh, he the man, you know. I talk to a lot of the youth, and I always have the same message for them all. Know thyself. And I'm sure the Christian community understands it. For those of you, the so-called woke community, knowledge yourself. Because sometimes our community says the same thing in different ways, and the message gets mixed up. You have to know who you are, where you came from, and where you're going. Because that's centering yourself. And when you're standing in that square, and when you're centered, no matter what comes your way, it's not going to rock you. It may, you may stumble a little bit, but it's not going to break you. You have your faith. You have your family. Whatever it is you love, whatever it is you care about, use those as anchors so you don't drown, so you don't get swept away in the tide. So, you know, because we hear about it all the time. Good people are dying left and right. My city will be at least 400 deaths by the end of this year.
Jesus.
All, you know, I turned the news this morning. 46-year-old man riding his bike got shot in the head. I have a funeral to attend on Friday for a guy I've known since I was 7 years old. Came home from work, transit driver here in the city, sat on his steps like he does every day and talked to the young bloods, the young guys, I should call. And a group of young guys come into an area that no, I mean, think about it. You know, you're hanging out with your boys on the block, y'all just talking, having fun, playing, you know, whatever it is you're doing. It's a group of kids that aren't even from your neighborhood, rolls in, shoots this man, total 14 times, 32 shell cases on the ground. And they rolled out of there, like, took his wallet and rolled out of there. Now, anyone with a half a brain and knows how the streets work, that wasn't no robbery. That was a hit. You don't spend that many shell cases. But the point is, these young people are faced with that every day. And it according to research, our kids are growing up are more technologically sound, excuse me, but they're not good people. The kids don't go out and play anymore. They stay in the house and play video games. You know, their face is always in the phone. They can't sit down to dinner, lunch, or just a casual encounter without staring at their phone. So the social part is being lost. So my statement to them is you got to get back to the source of things. You're in a black community. There's resources out there to help you for your depression. Okay, there's churches there to help you build your if you're Muslim or Christian, whatever you are, go find your faith leadership and help you rebuild that spiritual connection to the Most High. Whatever you are going through, ask for help. And when you feel yourself getting better, you set forth that plan for you to be who you're supposed to be. It's that simple. It's work. Life is work. And one of the last things my grandmother said to me before she passes, every day of your life, you're going to be challenged. And she did not lie to me. Even the days I didn't realize it. Because I have a process. At the end of every night, I think about the day. And what could I have done any different? So.
Amen. Yeah, man, that's a wonderful way to be. It's a wonderful way to end your day as well. Because it's good to make tomorrow always better than yesterday.
Yep.
And that's true. My brother, I have truly enjoyed this interview. It has been a pleasure. And I know those who are listening have been enlightened by something that you said today, and you know, as we close just out this interview, I'm going to give you a few minutes, Doc. You got a nice little while to give a word to the people, and I want everybody to know this is not something that was rehearsed, something that we talked about. I give Brother Akim free rein to speak how he speaks. I know that he's a very him and I can sit and talk all type of stuff because we were both bookworms. And we would call ourselves modern day nerds, and we're okay with that because nerds rule.
Yes, sir.
And it's okay, man. But I present to you right now a word from the good brother Hakeem Nuba. You have the floor, sir.
Well, thank you so much for this opportunity to speak. I don't have a lot to say. I worry for my people. I worry every day for the people I speak to every day and the people I may never, ever speak to. We're in one of the craziest times in the Black nation's history. And I think we really need to start focusing on coming together, teaching each other, and supporting each other. It's imperative. You know, the good pastor said we're nerds. President Obama was a nerd. The guy that's in there now, nowhere near a nerd. And look at the destruction. You don't see it because it ain't get to you yet. But when you are a political junkie like me, and I'm watching the tariffs, why is the tariffs important? Because tariffs affect places like Walmart and Target. Those places were designed for our people, low-cost things. We have to look at our current situation and through spirituality, finances, home ownership, food, your health, every aspect that makes you who you are under attack. So, stand in your square. For my woke people, stand in your cipher. 360 degrees of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. That's 180 each. Get yourself right. I'm sorry, that's 120 each. Get yourself right. Smarten up. Don't just be woke. Be aware. Because zombies are woke. Right? Mm-hmm. They're walking around. They're woke.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But you got to be more than woke. You have to be aware. So I issue a challenge to the business owners, hire more of our young people, to the faith-based community. And I just did this I just did this in front of my mama and her pastor this morning. I challenge you. Open up your doors. There's a lot of talented people in your community and that's sitting in your pew, a part of your congregation. Why aren't you having flea markets at the church on Saturday so people without jobs can sell cakes, socks, T-shirts, whatever they can get their hands on and make legal money? There's people home making stuff, making dinners. Why can't they come near and sell it on a weekend? There's things you can do, free tutoring programs for these struggling kids. You know, open up the door for these young moms who got kids who can't figure out how they're going to get to this job because they have kids and they can't afford the high cost of child care. Well, what you going to do about it? You're the cornerstone. The Black church has always been the cornerstone of civil rights for Black people and for our community. And I truly believe that, you know, I won't put it on the church. I say the same thing to the good brothers around the corner from me at the masjid. And lo and behold, now they're gathering up coupons for the low-income houses so mom can get deals at the grocery store. Now they're having tutoring programs. Wow. I love it. See, I got a big mouth. Anyone who knows me, I got a big mouth. And I try to think before I speak. And I just want everybody to really look around in your community and figure out how can you help it. It starts with you. So, I thank you for the time, my good sir.
Yes, indeed. I'm
shut my big mouth now.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Hakeem. Thank you for that wonderful word. It even touched me. It makes me to even think about, you know, in my church and what can we do. You know, I often try to be the community pastor. I often try to open my the doors of the church up to anybody and everybody, you know, we have so many different things going on, such as, you know, we serve food, we serve food baskets, we have the clothing stores, you know, the clothing closet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we try to do everything that we can, you know, to help the community and everything. But I think that, you know, we can all do just a little bit more. You know, it's okay to, you know, to offer the food and the clothes. But like you said, what else are we offering? And I think it's imperative, it's essential for all of us to do a little bit more. Even if
mm-hmm.
it's just, you know, picking people up and taking them, you know, the mothers and the families who don't have transportation, and taking them, you know, to the store and helping them get, you know, things that they need for the children. You know, we can all do a little more. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and God is always watching. God is always watching, and he's looking and he's expecting for his people to do and to go above and beyond. Because the very second that we fall down, we call on God.
Yep.
And we expect God to move on our behalf. But God is also saying, well, when I needed you to be a blessing to somebody else, you didn't want to do it. You know, so we have to always be mindful. And that's why I said it, this whole process is self-reflecting. It gives us something to look back at ourselves and see, are we truly doing enough? Thank you, man. Thank you, brother, for that good word.
Thank you. We have actually a couple callers.
Amen. All right. Well, let's start from the top then, Doctor. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Oh, good evening.
Good evening, sir. How you doing?
Hey, man.
Hey, good. I'm just I was teaching Sunday school today, and the topic was about family.
Mm-hmm.
The background scripture was in second chapter of Genesis, and I did a little background scripture of Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 12. And then one of my students gave had Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 2.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And,
amen.
Yeah, and what Hakeem was talking about family, we had a big discussion about that today, about why families, like why we should come together. And I posed the question, said, what do you miss about growing up as a kid? And somebody answered, said the closeness of family, the way it was when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And that just stuck out to me when I was teaching Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because growing up as a kid, you had family members, you had neighbors, you had teachers that cared. And I mean that cared not just for your education, but they cared about your self well-being. And I'd say over the last some time now, I've just been seeing, saying, what in the world's going on? I think that something's missing.
Amen. Well, you know what I think about, Brother Darius, is when you take God out of a situation, you're left with damnation. And you see they're trying to remove God out of everything. And even in the schools, if God is not there, you don't have love, you don't have compassion, you don't have sympathy, you don't have empathy, you don't have discernment. Do you know a lot of us, black, white, blue, and green, have all gotten positions that we got because somebody saw something in us? And that's called discernment.
Mm.
And when God is not in the picture, it's not there. So if somebody's acting crazy in school, but nobody's there to have that love and that discernment over their life, they're just a juvenile delinquent. ship them off to a juvenile facility for 3 years and let them think about what they did, and then they come out and they can't get a job, and thus they go back into prison and get out and rob somebody. It's just a complete circle. But when you remove God out of the picture, you're left with calamity.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Darius, for always coming with a good word for us, sir.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, Brother, can we say we have another person on the line?
Yes, indeed.
Welcome
to the show.
Amen. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Can you hear
Hello?
Me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Hey, hey.
Well,
how you doing?
Pastor, I was listening, and I'm very thankful that you made it through the storm. That's a testimony that I'm going to meditate on. As we all are going through storms, but you are literally going through a storm and not knowing. I'm glad that you made it. You by way of Canada and a whole other country, and you are still made it to be able to have your show. So I'm grateful for that. I just want to be real quick because I know we're coming down to the wire here. But a lot of what Mr. Hakim Nuba said is true. It's a short version because he was put in my path the way we met, just like the way you and I met, Pastor. It was real crazy, and he minimized it, but it was out of a lot of chaos and a lot of drama. And this is a person here who wasn't getting the respect and the due that he's due, you know. Then I believe that God put people in your path for a reason, not knowing, just like you. Going to Canada and not knowing that there was a storm, I can relate because I did not know me dealing with Hakim. We was going through the storm and we prevailed. And he is the one thing I can say about him is that there is a humbleness. He hasn't given you a fraction of what kind of things he's put his hands on. He's like he reminds me of the black Forrest Gump. You know, in a sense that he's been everywhere. He knows a little bit about everything. He's just knowledgeable. He's just one of them people. You ever met one of them old men that talk about things and they know what they're talking about? And you can sit up and listen to them all day? Okay, well, this is him before they get old. This is Hakim. Yeah. This is the version of that old man before he gets old. So while I know he just had a birthday, I just wanted to touch on that and let the congregation know that this is a good dude that I chose to partner up with. He is actually responsible for all of my social media. He's my COO, but he's responsible for all of my social media. He's my PR guy. He is running my shoe company. He is running my online radio network. It's just my travel business. He is behind all of that. And so while he sits here, and I'm just one person. He has a plethora of other folks that he runs their businesses and help them out with. So I said all that to say this, that he's very humble, and that humbleness is what attracted me to him, to be able to trust him with my business dealings and know that we will be all right. So I thank you. I thought it was an excellent idea that you, everybody, you know, whoever had questions about the man that's behind the scenes, he is the person, the go-to person if you need to know something. This dude here goes, and I'm going to tell this, I know you don't want to, he goes to classes, this is the part that's Forrest Gump, he goes to classes constantly and constantly staying up on social media, like Facebook and Pinterest and Tumblr and Instagram, all of that stuff, he takes courses to stay up with them because they always got some new stuff coming up. That's how he conducts business. Let me give you an idea, inside look of how he operates. So if you don't know it, he will find it. He's very, very little that he doesn't know, but he knows how to find it and make sure he gets it researches it and gets you what you need. So anyway, I appreciate you guys. I'm glad both of you is a blessing. This is the moment right now in time that we can reflect on this moment at this time. Never again will come again for us to have this conversation and be amongst the greatness of God. So I thank you for this moment. It's being recorded forever and forever on my radio network, HubNet Online Radio.
Amen. Amen.
Wow.
Yeah. Amen. That's why I say, Doctor, you don't know how important you are to this network. And just if at any time you get the feeling of being bogged down, just know, brother, that you have so many people out here that will lift you up at any given time. We're all here for you. We all love you, and we all respect you.
Let me find out y'all plotting together to try to make me cry on air. There is no collusion.
Well, you know, I tell you, when she spoke about men who pretty much have an answer for everything, and it's always the right answer. I knew a seasoned pastor by the name of Reverend Dr. Robert L. Holt, and he was a father in ministry to me and one of my good friends. And he passed a month and a half to almost 2 months ago. And he was a great man that could have an answer for every question that you could think of. And you remind me of him. And I just say, you know, he also told me too that men cry, and it is okay for a man to cry. So if you cry out of joy, Doctor, it's okay. Amen. Because a man needs to express himself too. Amen.
Well, you too have accomplished that task. I truly appreciate both of y'all. I appreciate you, sir, for allowing me the opportunity to step out of the shadows, and I appreciate Michelle for multiple reasons, for the opportunity and the trust she's instilled in me. I know I drive her crazy sometimes, but it's all in to make things better. And lastly, due to my illness last week, I was supposed to produce my 300th show, and I'm happy to say that tonight is that 300th show, since I canceled all my shows last week.
Hey, man.
I said, you know what? It's weird how everything worked out, because the show I was supposed to do with you last week was supposed to be 300.
Okay.
And this is my 300th professionally produced show, and I am so grateful, so happy. And I'm glad I did it here on HubNet, thanks to Sister Michelle.
Amen. And it's a true blessing, Doctor. It's a true blessing, and I'm so grateful for you, man. And may God continue to bless you.
Thank you.
Amen. And as we wind down, just remember that God is in complete control, regardless of whatever goes on. On behalf of Sister Michelle, the good brother Hakim Nuba, this is Pastor D. Townsend. You have been listening to the Jubilee Affair, and we are signing off. God bless you, and God keep you.